Proverbs, in the Bible, Psalms, and then Proverbs. Just want to look at a really amazing verse to begin with. Proverbs 12 and verse 28. Verse 28. And the Bible says this: in the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death. Amen? Isn't that an incredible verse? It says, in the way of righteousness is life, and in that pathway there is no death. Wouldn't it be so good if it was as simple as that? The problem is, sin creeps in there. And the question I want to ask you tonight is, do we really value our personal righteousness before the Lord? See, in the Bible, it talks about Christ's righteousness. Go to 2 Corinthians 5, please. 2 Corinthians in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, then 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And this here is talking about righteousness, amen? Because without Christ's righteousness, we'd be nothing. We don't have no righteousness of our own, but the thing is, it says here in 2 Corinthians 5, 21, for he had made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I'm glad for Calvary, amen. I'm glad for the day when Jesus came into my life where he saved a wretched person like me. I mean, seriously, when you consider just what Christ did for you, the Bible says in Psalms 40, he's taken you up out of the miry clay and he's put your feet upon a rock and established your goings. He's done everything for us, amen. That's Christ's righteousness. But the thing I want to focus today is our own personal righteousness. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Now, our own personal righteousness is based upon Christ's righteousness. Amen. Because it says in Isaiah 64 verse 6, it says, all our righteousness but filthy rags. But when we have Christ as the foundation, then we can build upon our own personal righteousness. And that's the thing that's going to get you through the dark days. Amen. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. And we look here at, Ephesians chapter 6, we look at here at the armor of God. It says in verse 11, but putting on the whole armor of God, that may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That word wiles there means trickery. It means the craftiness of the enemy, amen. He's very, very clever. He's all clever. But notice verse 12, for that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now that's Christ's righteousness, but it's also our own righteousness, amen. Because in this Christian life, you have to value your own personal walk with the Lord. We seldom see the consequences of sin, amen. The Bible says just a little leaven, leaveneth the whole work. All that work is for nothing when we fall into some little bit of sin. And sometimes it doesn't take much. Sometimes it's just boredom. It's just like, man, maybe we haven't read our Bible in a couple of days, and all of a sudden we find ourselves falling into some sort of sin. That's what it's like so many times. Just like Esau valued a bowl of pottage of lentil soup more than he valued God, amen, or God's way. And it's just like us. In Genesis 25, verse 29, it says that he valued just a bowl of pottage of lentil soup, and he didn't care for what God wanted for him, amen. And that's a sad thing. A lot of times with Christians, we think of, in our mind we go, well, I can do the sin and no one's going to find out about it. I can always get right with God, but we seldom think of the consequences of that sin. Amen? How easy it is to give in to sin and compromise our Christian lives. Do we really understand how deadly sin is? Turn to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, and exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You know, you fall into some sort of sin, it's going to harden your heart. It's just the way it is. It hardens your heart. But thankfully, the book softens your heart. Amen? Amen. That book, when it gets into you, that's the thing that softens your heart and gives you that sensitivity towards God. But we need to be careful. We need to be careful just to value our own personal righteousness. You know, sin will always cause you to harden your heart. And also, it talks about, you know, when God gives you the victory over some sin, when God gives you just a victory, maybe it's something you struggle with, and God gives you the victory, we ought to hold on to that victory, amen? Hold on to it. Realize that's going to get us over the next hurdle that's coming on. You know, when David faced Goliath, David knew he could get the victory over Goliath because he passed victories, amen? And that's the way we need to be. We need to be able to, like Christian life in Romans chapter 8 talks about the Christian life being a victorious life, where we were going to get victory, and then we'd be able to get the victory over another victory after that. That's supposed to be the Christian life, where we're going upwards rather than downwards. Amen? And you know, the devil is so crafty, though. You know, sometimes it says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour." And you know, sometimes he's not roaring, but he's waiting. Turn to Job in the Old Testament. Job chapter. And to be honest with you, if you ever heard the devil roar, it's kind of too late, because he has you then. But turn to Job chapter 1, please. And just see the character of the devil here in Job chapter 1 in verse 7. "And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Didn't Satan answer the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And you know what he's trying to do? He's looking for someone who he can devour. Amen? Turn to Job, next chapter, chapter 2, verse 2. "And the Lord said unto Satan, From whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And what he's trying to do? He's trying to devour someone. But the thing is, he's the most patient creature you could ever imagine. And that's what a lion does. A lion waits for their prey. And when that prey is not expecting it, they pounce on that animal. And we need to be so careful not to underestimate the devil, because he's all-powerful. He blinds the people who don't believe. That's why this world is out there. And that's why you knock on the door and people are so blind, they cannot see the truth, because the devil has blinded our minds. Amen? And then we also... you know, if the devil, and this is what I'm trying to get at, if the devil can get you to swap your personal righteousness with the sin, with the pleasure of sin for a season, he's got the victory over you. You know, the devil cannot rob you of your personal righteousness. You give that away, amen? That's what happens, we give it away. And the thing I want to talk about today is the value of personal righteousness. You know, go back to Ephesians chapter 6 again. Ephesians chapter 6 in the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 6 again. I just want you to know the most essential weapon of our warfare here. It talks about the different warfare in verse 13, Ephesians 6. "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, to be able to withstand in the evil day, having all to stand. Stand there, for having your loins girded about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherein to be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And the helmet of salvation," verse 17, "of salvation, and the word of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and praying always." The thing I want you to see here, the most essential item there, if you lose your personal righteousness, you're not going to want to go soul winning, amen? You will not want to go tell people about Christ, because you have no confidence in your own self. Amen? So I want you to know, personal righteousness is most important if you have the victory in the Christian life. I just want to bow and pray here. Father, please help me, I pray. Please help me, and please help me to understand just what you're trying to... just help me, I pray, God. Oh, God, I just ask that you give me liberty and you'd help me. And we ask all these things in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. You know what happens when you lose your personal righteousness? You become a defeated Christian. Amen. You can't go backwards and you can't go forwards. Because once you're a Christian, you're different. And the world recognizes you as being different. And you can't go and join them in the pub anymore because you're just different. There's something inside you that's different. You can't fit in anymore, amen? But you can't also go forward because there's something holding you back. There's something holding you back. Because we're trying to serve... Go to Matthew chapter 6, please. Matthew 6 and verse 24. And by the way, this is the proof verse. You cannot have two wives. No man can serve two... No, I got that. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve two masters. You either love the Lord and you hate the devil. That's just the way it's supposed to be. You can't. There's no in between. Amen. Turn to Psalms 97, please. Psalms 97. Psalms 97. Right in the middle of your Bible. Verse 10. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. Just listen to that verse again. He that love the Lord, hate evil. He preserved the souls of the saints. He delivered them out of the hand of the wicked. You know, if you love the Lord, you're going to hate the evil way. Amen? There's going to be some problem when you turn on the television and you see the stuff on the television. Even if there's no curse words, there's a spirit behind that. It's going to pollute your mind, amen? So just be very careful what you kind of listen to, because a lot of times there's just a spirit behind it, amen? The opposite of that is true as well. If you, on the other hand, if you love your sin, you will despise the Lord, amen? Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 12. You know, David, man after God's own heart, David just walked faithfully and saw victory upon victory, yet David fell into a huge sin, amen? 2 Samuel chapter 12. Now therefore, and this is now David's offer, this is David has sinned here with Bathsheba in chapter 11. In chapter 12, Nathan the prophet comes along and he's going to rebuke David. And he says, thou art the man, you're the guilty one. And notice what verse 10 says of chapter 12. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. You know, that old nature in you is deadly, amen? And we need to be so careful just to build up on our own personal righteousness, so that when we come into a temptation, that we have the personal righteousness just to be able to say, no, I don't want to do that anymore. Amen? That's personal righteousness, the value of just a personal righteousness. I want to look now to Psalms chapter 4. We'll be there for the rest of the time. Psalms chapter 4. Psalms 4. I want to read the whole thing and then I want to just outline it. Hear me when I call, O God, of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing lies? But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with thy own heart upon thy bed and be still, Selah. Offer the sacrifice of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than the times that the corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makes me dwell in safety. Now this is a man who has personal righteousness. Amen. David here. David had been through a lot. This, I believe, was written at a later stage in his life. David had gone through the sin of Bathsheba. He got right with God. But you know, when David really got right with God, he valued that personal righteousness because he saw how horrible it was living in sin. Amen. And a lot of Christians, you know, God forbid, when you go back into the world and you see the pit of this world, you see just the cesspool that's out there, you value your church. You value just being around people who are clean, who the tongues are clean, and you value just personal righteousness in our lives. Amen. And that's what's happening here. The first thing I want you to see here is his prayer in verse 1. Hear me when I call, O God, and my righteousness thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. You know, the Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. We need to understand. Go to James, please. James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Right all the way in the New Testament. You keep going, Hebrews and then James. You know, you think of the power of prayer. Prayer is powerful, especially when it comes from righteous lips, amen. When it comes from a heart that has something inside it that hasn't backslidden, hasn't gone back into the world, hasn't compromised. When the words leave the heart and go to the lips and go on to heaven, that's powerful, amen. And here you have in James chapter 5 verse 16, it says, confess your fault one to another and pray one for another that he may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. Now that's Christ's righteousness, but it's also our own righteousness, amen. And it says in verse 17, Elijah was a man subject to like faith, as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. That is power, amen. That's a powerful prayer. I mean, you know, it didn't take no fancy words. It was just from the heart, and it was from a righteous heart. If we could get a hold of this thing called personal righteousness, it would change our lives. Where we would, when it comes to some sin, comes in the back door, and the devil puts a temptation there, we'd go, man, that sin's not worth it. It's not worth it because I have to hold on to my own personal righteousness. I have to think of tomorrow. I have to think of the prayers that I'm. We sometimes ask God for stuff, but in our own life there's a little compromise here and there. And God, you know, God, it's kind of like my kids when they come to me and they ask me for something. Well, you know, if I know my kids haven't been good, I'm going to be very slow to give them that. Amen. But if I know my kids have been good, and I know they try to do their best, I'm going to give them as much as I possibly can. That's just the way God is. And the way we are with our kids is the way God is with us. Amen. We need to be so careful that when we pray, man, it comes from righteous lips. It comes from a heart that just wants to seek the Lord. And just from a heart. You know, here in Psalms chapter 2, I should have said hold your place there. Psalms chapter 2, Psalms 4 again, please. Psalms 4, think of what you see here. It says, hear me when I call, O God, of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. David here was strengthened from past experiences, amen. He was strengthened from times where he needed the Lord, and he kept a righteous walk with the Lord, and the Lord came true, amen. It says here, David's feet are, he says, you've enlarged me. And that's what we need. We need victory so that down the line we will get more victory because we trust in the Lord in the previous one, like we're going to trust the Lord in this one. Amen. It's also based on a walk with God. It's based on David. David couldn't pray this prayer unless he was walking with God. You realize that? And the same thing with us. We think, oh, just a little sin there, just a little leaven, a little sin. It's not going to really affect us because we just look at the narrow. And we just think, okay, it's just going to, okay, I fall into this thing and I'm going to get right with God. But you know what? The Lord looks at the big thing. And the thing is here is David held on to that personal righteousness which he had before the Lord. And also, it says in Hebrews chapter 4, please go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hold your place in Psalms chapter 4, please, as well, and go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 4, verse 15. I love this verse. "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." That's talking about Christ, amen. But then verse 16, "Let us therefore go boldly unto the throne of grace." Oh man, wouldn't it be just so sweet just be able to go before the Lord in prayer and just go boldly into the very throne of grace. Amen. You can do that. You can do that when you have a right life with the Lord. Amen. When you have a right walk with the Lord. When there may be times you get on your knees and you might have to ask the Lord to cleanse you and wash you and all that kind of stuff. But I tell you, once you get past that, then the Lord just opens up the heaven's gates and you find yourself right at the very throne of God. That's what we need in our lives. Where, you know, in our lives where when we have struggles and we have prayers that we cry out to God in, we need to be where we can go boldly in the throne of grace. And when we let a little bit of sin get in there, just a little bit of something that causes us to trip us up, man, we don't have the confidence anymore to go in there. We don't have that confidence just to seek the Lord with all our hearts. And prayer is also, the Bible talks about prayer being without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, "Pray without ceasing." And Luke 11, please. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. I just want to read verse 1 first. "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." So Jesus here is being asked, how do you pray? And he gives in the next few verses, he gives the Our Father. We all know that. But then I want you to see in verse 6, he talks about a certain friend. "For a certain friend of mine is in his journey, is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he said, from within shall I answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. For I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity," or his troublesomeness, "he will arise and give him many as he needeth." What I'm trying to say is we need to be persevering in our prayer. How many prayers have we started off? I've prayed about certain things, but you know what? Sometimes I've wandered a little out of the way. I found my prayer life wavering because of that. And then I realized just the consequences of that little bit of leaven, a little bit of sin in my life. And it's so, you have to be so careful that when we set our goals to pray for some needs, we keep our focus on that one need and we keep praying, amen. And then God will answer our prayers. Because it says here, if you keep persevering, if you keep praying just faithfully, you don't have to have great words. The Lord's not even impressed by that. Just coming from a broken heart, amen. But when you have just a desire and a persevering in your prayer life, God will answer it, amen. It says here in the book, amen. The book doesn't lie. God will answer it. So we need to be just persevering in our prayer life. And then also you want to see in Psalm chapter 4. Psalm chapter 4. By the way, I have 6 points. I hate to disappoint you. Psalm chapter 4. Psalm chapter 4. I want you to see his understanding here in verse 2. "O ye sons of men, how long will he turn my glory into shame? How long will he love vanity and seek after leasing lines? But no, the Lord has set him apart that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him." I want you to see his understanding here. You know, understanding is so important. Because, you know, when you fall into some sort of sin, your understanding leaves you. Amen. Did you ever wonder how a Christian who has been bought with a price, a Christian who the Lord has put upon a rock and established our goings, could go back into the world. Let me show you a verse in Proverbs, please. Proverbs. Psalms, and then Proverbs. Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21, verse 16. The man that wandereth, okay, he's not walking, he's wandering, out of the way of understanding, and then it says, shall remain in the congregation of the dead. You know what? A Christian gets away from God, they lose their understanding. That's why it says in Isaiah 1:18, it says, come now, let us reason together. Because the Lord has to reason with you. But when you get away from God, it's scary. Because it's like in Romans chapter 1, it says, their foolish heart was darkened. You lose your understanding and you go back into the world and you find yourself in a mess. The prodigal son, he didn't realize the depth of poverty he was going to get into. He didn't realize just in the pig's mire that he would be in. He didn't realize that. A lot of Christians, man, they wander away from God's word. They don't pick it up. They don't read it. The devil throws some temptation their way. They fall into that temptation, and all of a sudden they're in the mire, back in the miry clay, just where they came from. And all they did was wander out of the way. And then the understanding becomes darkened, amen? It becomes darkened. And that's the tragedy a lot of times of many Christians. Do you know why Christians fall away and then they stay away? It's because their understanding has just become a little bit darkened. And, you know, we need to pray for those people who are not here, because sometimes, man, I know it grieves God and it should grieve us, just because we're family, amen, we're family. And sometimes we judge people that have fallen away. We judge people who have fallen into sin. Just be careful. The same could happen to us. It could happen to you. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, it says, let him that thinketh take heed lest he fall. It's pretty scary. Or let him that standeth take heed lest he fall. I knew it said something wrong there. But just realize the devil is so crafty. And sometimes it just takes a little bit of sin. We never see the consequences of our sin, though, amen? We never see the slavery of it. We just think of the sin itself, but we never see maybe use the example of David here. David, one fling with Bathsheba. Man, what did it cost him? It cost him his family. It says in Psalms chapter 3, it's all about Absalom rising up and trying to take the throne off David. David has to leave the palace. He has to run. Let's go back to Psalms chapter 3 as well. Psalms. Just the previous chapter. Some of these psalms we know when they were written. Others we don't know. But in Psalms chapter 3, just when you see, it says in verse 1, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Even his own family rose up against him, amen. And then it says, I like what it says there in verse 5, I lay me down and I slept and I wait for the Lord to sustain me. You know, David doesn't know where he's going to have a knife to his throat in the morning or not. He doesn't know, because his own son is after him. And man, that one sin with Bathsheba, it caused so much disaster in David's life. It cost him his family. It cost him his honor. It cost him waste of time. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 11. You know, we think of David, and we think, okay, David goes out and he sins with Bathsheba, but we forget just the amount of time elapsed in that sin. 2 Samuel chapter 11. Second Samuel 11, verse 27. And when the morning had passed, David sent and fetched her for his house, and she became his wife, and bare him a son. Now this is before Nathan the prophet goes and says, thou art the man. And it says then, but the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. Time has elapsed between chapter 11 and chapter 12, amen. And I tell you, sin will cost you time. That's why you need to value just a personal walk, a personal righteousness with the Lord, amen. Turn to Proverbs chapter 5. Psalms and Proverbs. The reason why we preach about sin is because it's deadly, amen. You need to be aware that the devil is a roaring lion and he wants to devour you. This is talking about here about the strange woman, Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 8. Just pay close attention to this verse. Remove thy way far from her and come not nigh her door of her house. Verse 9 is the key verse. Lest thou give thine honor unto others and thy years unto the cruel. Now that's a scary verse, because you can get into some sin, you can get away from God, and you can find the years going by and you're not in church. Isn't that scary? That's why the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Amen. Just the fear of God. Keep your path straight. Keep your personal righteousness so that you don't waver to the right or to the left. You just keep focused on the Lord, looking on the Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Amen. On the other hand, good understanding giveth favor. Amen. The Bible says, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard. You know, the Bible says, just if I'm to understand, and if I'm to obey the Lord faithfully, just day in, day out, even though it might be a monotone way of life, or it might nothing exciting might be happening, just if I'm to obey Him faithfully, in the little things, in the big things, just obeying Him and walking with Him, man, it says in Psalms, turn to Psalms, please, 119. Psalm 119 and verse 99. I have more understanding than all my teachers. Amen. And for thy testimonies and for thy meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. Amen. Just to keep thy precepts. Just to keep that book before you. Obey the book. It's worth anything than all the teachers, all the philosophy of this world. Man, just to keep yourself simple, keep Christ the center of your life, amen. And He will reward you one day. It's as simple as that. Then I want you all to see in Psalm chapter 4 again, I want you to see His communion here. I was thinking of Brother Joseph when I was looking at this verse. Psalms 4, verse 4, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still, Selah. You know, if you're really standing in awe of God, you're not going to want to sin, amen. If you're really looking in awe of just how good God is, how He's blessed you in the past, how He's been so faithful, consistent in your life, how He has just done so many miracles in your life. Your salvation is a miracle, amen. The fact that you're breathing and you're not in the hospital is a miracle. If you were to even think about where would you be without the Lord? Where would you be without Him being your Savior? About Him just taking you up out of the miry clay, how He's established you, how He's so faithful, so consistent in your life. Just ponder on that in a minute. And you would, sin just goes to the furthest to your mind. You wouldn't even dream of sinning. And you know, you ever been at a big meeting or like the men's retreat and you get positive peer pressure about Christ? You wouldn't even think about sinning. But you know, in your own mind, you can just ponder the goodness of God and you can just push sin way to the back of your mind, way to the back, so that it never comes forth. And we'd be able to stand in awe of our God. Amen. Thinking of the awesomeness of God. Thinking of the insignificance of man. Turn to Psalms 8. It's just a few chapters over. Psalms 8. This is also David. And he says here, O Lord, how excellent, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Thou hast set the glory above the heavens. out of the mouth of babes and suckling, thou hast ordained strength because of thine enemies. Thou mightest still the enemy of the avenger. And then it says in verse 4, for what is man thou hast mindful of him, or the son of man that shall thou visit him, being Adam? But he says, man, what am I? Who am I? I am nothing. God's everything. Man, the fact that I can stand and I can look at my God and go, you know, as Christians, we just need to ponder Jesus a little. Just ponder the horrible death Jesus suffered on the cross. Just realize that he did it for you, he did it for me. You know, we knock at doors and we tell people about our Savior. But we just need to, at times, just like the message this morning, just to meditate, just to ponder what a good God he is, how he became flesh, how he dwelt among us, how he changed our lives. And just, you know, this sometimes just encourages me. If I was the only person upon this planet, he would have done it for me. He loves me that much. If you were the only person upon this planet, he would have done it for you. He loves you that much. Isn't that's the greatest love story this world has ever known, amen. There's no other love story that comes compared to it. Calvary and the cross is the greatest love story that you will ever hear. You will not hear anything better than that. It doesn't get any better. That is the greatest love story, amen. And just to ponder that, just to meditate on that for a while, man, just realize he loves you so very much. And when you do that, sin gets pushed way to the side. You wouldn't even dream of sinning. But the devil is so crafty. He comes along, he gives us a temptation, and he says, are you going to go for it? You going to go for it? You'll have pleasure of sin for a season. Pleasure. There's pleasure in sin, but there's also a huge trap. He is also a big, big snare. You know, and then it talks about he's communing with his own heart. A lot of times, you know, if you really have a righteous walk with the Lord and you're communing upon your bed and you're just bringing your heart under control, amen. You're bringing your heart under control. And then it says, and you're being still so that the still small voice could speak to you, amen. Just allow God to speak to you. Resolve that there is nothing else to do but to just be still, amen. And sometimes David has big problems. Sometimes he's running from his own son. Sometimes there's problem in the kingdom because of previous sins he's done and stuff like that. But just realize, David got a hold of this thing called personal righteousness, and he valued it. Amen. He valued it. Turn back to Psalms chapter 4 now again. Psalms chapter 4. Then I want you to see his sacrifice in verse 5. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. I like that. You know, if your religion doesn't cost you anything, it's not worth anything. Amen. Let me say that one more time. If your religion doesn't cost you anything, it's not worth anything, amen. It's not even worth following, amen. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 24. Second Samuel to your left. In the final chapter, verse 24, here in this situation, David has sinned and the Lord has said, I want you to go and sacrifice. And in 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 18, and Gad the prophet came that day to David and said unto him, go up, rear an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Arunah the Jebusite. And David did according to the saying of the Lord, of Gad, went up as the Lord commanded. And then the next chapter, I want you to see that he goes, and in verse 22, Arunah said unto David, let my lord the king take an offering up that seemeth good unto him. Behold, we have an oxen for burnt sacrifice as a threshing instrument, and other instruments of the oxen for wood. And verse 23, and all these things did Arunah as the king give unto the king. And Arunah said unto the king, the Lord thy God accept thee. But David has a problem here. David doesn't want no cheap sacrifice. Amen. Notice what it says in verse 24. And the king said unto Arunah, nay, but I will surely buy it of thee a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. So David brought the threshing floor of the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. You know, if your religion doesn't cost you nothing, it's not worth much. Amen. Everybody sacrifices. You know, you think of the sacrifices going on today. Man, sports is a huge sacrifice. Everybody, you know, whatever your idol is, that's who you're going to sacrifice to. Amen. Whoever your idol is. And you cannot be neutral. You know, think of the people today, sports and the personalities. Man, the personalities. It says in Luke 16, verse 15, he that is highly esteemed in this world is an abomination in the sight of God. Amen. So some of you there, and you've got soccer players, and you've got, I'm trying to think of names here. Yeah, that's right. But you've soccer players and people like that, and you hold them in high regard. And sometimes, man, I know people at work, and they know every name, they know every score they made. I mean, it's like a different language. They're talking there, and I don't even understand what they're talking about. I'm just saying, man, we need to be careful, because you know what those people are doing? They're sacrificing to their idols, false religions. And I'm glad I can do it for the truth and not for a lie. Amen. Amen. That's what's so good being a Christian. I have the book. I know that the Bible calls it a sacrifice of righteousness. And whatever the Lord asks you to give up, whatever the Lord asks you to give up, He's doing it for a reason, so He can make you. Amen. It may cost you your friends. Amen. Turn to Matthew chapter 10, please. Matthew chapter 10. It may cost you your friends, but man, it's better than burning in hell for all eternity. Amen. Matthew 10, verse 24. I'm not going to paint a picture that becoming a Christian is wonderful and is it's something you will never regret any part of. Notice what it says in Matthew 10:24. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man of variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. What I want to say to you today is, it may cost you your friends, but man, the friends that God has you give up, He will replace with so many other friends. Amen. That's what we are. We're a family here. And we become, we have one common thing in our life, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He's that common denominator that makes us, amen. And we've all, the Bible talks about taking up our cross and walking after Him. We all had to do that. And man, it may cost us some friends, but you know, they weren't true friends in the first place. Man, they weren't true friends. True friends are those that are here today, amen. It may cost us friends. It may involve persecution. David never... Look what it says in Psalm 69. I like this, Psalm 69. Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. That's a deep despair that David is under. I sink in the deep mire. He's barely hanging on here, amen. And it says, where there is no standing, I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying, my throat is dried, mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. At least He's waiting, amen. Verse 4, they that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. Man, if you're a Christian and you're trying to walk righteously, you're going to have enemies. It's just the way it is. And there's going to be a sacrifice there. But you know, I'd rather sacrifice to righteousness than the sacrifice of this world any day, amen. The sacrifice of the idols of this world, I'd rather sacrifice to Christ any day. Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. I'd rather have that sacrifice any day than sacrifice this world, because I cannot serve two masters. And there's no in-between ground. I'm either sacrificing righteously unto the Lord, I'm sacrificing idols unto the devil. Amen. And then I want you to see as well, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 19. What say I then, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered to sacrifice idols is anything? Verse 20. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God, and I would not that they should have fellowship with devils. Man, it's serious business when you're not, and there's no point in sacrificing to the true God if you're not a Christian in the first place, because man, he only wants it from the heart. He only wants righteousness, righteous sacrifice. And then I want you to see as well, back in Psalms chapter 4, I want you to see his confidence in verse 6 and 7. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. For thou hast put gladness in my heart more than the time that the corn and the wine increased. Now we live in a time where the Celtic tiger is no more. Amen. Where's your confidence? Is your confidence in the Lord? You know, if you were I love this old Bible. If you were to split this Bible right in two, you'd find yourself, and please go there, Psalms 118. You'd find yourself in the middle verse of your Bible, Psalms 118. And you'd come to the verse 8. And it says this, I believe the Lord put this verse in there for a reason. It says this in verse 8, it's better to trust in the Lord than put confidence in man. Don't put your confidence in man, amen. It will only be misled. Confidence in the Lord. Man, actually, the two middle words of that, your whole Bible is the Lord. And I think he does that for a reason. Confidence in the Lord. Don't put your confidence in this economy, amen. Don't put your confidence in this government. You pray for your government. You pray to do the best job, but don't put your confidence in them, because they'll only let you down. It says in Psalms, verse 20, verse 8, there's some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Amen. We'll have confidence in the Lord. You know, in this recession could go deeper and deeper and deeper. And as a Christian, it shouldn't worry you any. You shouldn't get distressed. You shouldn't fret. You shouldn't have any worries, because our God is Jehovah and He reigns. Amen. I'm telling you that verse, the Lord's in control. What's the verse we're doing for Sunday, for the morning? Be still and know that I am God. Amen. He is God. He's not up there worried about the collapse of the government and the worldwide collapse. He's not up there fretting. He's perfectly calm. He's perfectly still, because he's perfectly in control. Amen. Put your confidence in the Lord. Don't put your confidence in man. Put your confidence in the Lord. And then go to Proverbs chapter 18. Psalms, Proverbs 18. Don't even put your confidence in your best friend. Now my wife is my best friend. Amen. But I have to have someone other than my wife to completely trust and to completely have confidence in. Proverbs 18, verse 24, a man that had friends must show himself friendly, but there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That's Jesus, amen. Amen. And he wants to be your friend. He wants to take you through the valley. He wants to take you through the hilltop. He wants to walk with you all your Christian life, if you only allow him, amen. He is the confident one, amen. He is the faithful one. And then also, I want you to see in Psalms chapter 4, I want you to see David's peace here in Psalms 4, verse 8. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makes me dwell in safety. I like that. You know, the Bible says in Psalms 30, verse 5, for his anger endureth but for a moment, he in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Amen. I wonder, you know, when we go through the struggles and when we go through times of temptation, do we not realize that man, joy is coming. You know, you may be going through a struggle, and you may feel like trials, financial trials, different things going on in your life. You know, but joy is coming. Joy coming in the morning. You just have to hold out, amen. You have to value your own personal righteousness, and God will give you peace, amen. God will give you peace. You may be going through turmoil right now, but just wait a while. Just hang in there. Just stay faithful. Just keep that personal righteousness, and the Lord will get you through it. And, you know, the Bible says, joy cometh in the morning. It cometh in the morning if you only will wait for it. You know, and also I want to just say, you will go through many valleys in this life. You know, but the Bible says that Jesus is the lily of the valley, and He is the one who gives you perfect peace. The Bible says in Isaiah 26 verse 3, thou shalt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Just keep your mind focused on the Lord, and He'll keep you in perfect peace. Amen. Only, and you know, the end result of, you know, David in the Psalms, he goes through, and he cries out in despair. And you think by verse 1 that he's doomed. But then you read on in the Psalm, and then you see the hope beginning to get into his heart. And then you see the confidence, and then you see the end result of David is peace. Turn to Psalms 37. Psalms 37 is an unusual psalm. It's actually the last words of David in 2 Kings also quotes this, and it's actually the last words of David. But Psalms 37, verse 37, mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Peace. You know, there's a peace that Jesus gives you that the world knows nothing of. Hollywood knows nothing of. Nobody in this world knows about except for the Christian, amen. And that's the peace that passes all understanding. That's the supernatural peace the Lord gives you in the midst of a despairing trial. Man, you think of Job's trial, and you think, you know, Job and his friends just sat there for 7 days, didn't say a word to each other. I can't imagine just sitting with someone on an ash heap with boils on my body, and just sitting with someone, three friends, and not even saying a word for 7 days. But that's how deep and how dark that trial was for Job. And the Bible is all sufficient. And to know that the Lord can give you peace through any trial that you go through, amen. Any trial in this life. You know, in conclusion, let me just say this. Personal righteousness is worth fighting for, amen. Just personal righteousness. You know, as a Christian, you may be going through something, and you know what? The devil is so crafty. He knows just when to put a temptation your way. And sometimes, you know, maybe you're busy with the kids or something like that, and you're having a rough day with the kids. You want to just switch off at the end of the night, amen. And you turn on that idiot box, and all of a sudden, something catches your eye. And all of a sudden, you know you should turn the television off, but you kind of go, well, maybe I should. Just you're enjoying it, and you're getting you're kind of finding yourself. You just need some switch off time at the end of the night. But a lot of times, man, that just bit of switch off time can cause you your personal righteousness. Amen. We need to be careful, you know, because also the Bible says, just that breastplate of righteousness, that just remove that and you're defeated. The whole armor of God falls apart. Amen. When sin seems tempting, just consider just how much it will weaken you. Turn to Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13. In verse 6, I like this verse. Proverbs 13, verse 6. Righteousness keepeth him that is upright in the way. So this is a guy, he's got personal righteousness, and he's going to, if when he walks in that righteousness, it's going to keep him upright in the way. Amen. And then the last part of that verse says, but wickedness overthroweth the sinner. You know, man, You talk about just the Lord and how he tries to direct your life. And when you try to just walk with him and you try to have personal righteousness, it's going to keep you upright in the way, amen? That's what that verse says. And then you find the other scenario is when you get a little leaven, a little bit of sin there, it totally defeats you. It totally defeats you. Your strength is gone. Your strength is gone. David, let me just don't go to Psalms 38, please. Psalms 38. In Psalms 38, I believe this is connected with Psalms 51, but in here you see the real consequences of living independently from God. Psalms chapter 38, verse 1, O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. For thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand passeth me sore. Just realize, the way of the transgressor is hard. Verse 3, there is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities are gone over mine head as a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. And I believe David here was crying out, and it says then in verse 6, and I'm troubled and I'm bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. And it talks about in verse 7, for my loins are filled with the loathsome disease and there is no soundness in my flesh. Man, there's something. And verse 10, my heart panted, my strength failed me, for the light of mine eyes is also gone from me. Man, there's something about sin that's so devastating. There's something about just a sin that gets into us and it destroys our personal walk. But then, just look over and go to Psalms 37, verse 31. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. I'd rather have the law of God in my heart than just the sin of pleasure, or the sin of or the pleasure of sin for a season. Just that sin that get in there and it corrupts me. Man, it's just so good just to have a personal walk with the Lord. And just to think, that's built upon Christ's righteousness, amen. It's not your own righteousness, it's Christ's righteousness. I'm glad for Christ's righteousness. And just to say this, on the 2nd of October 1992, Christ came into my life. He saved my wretched soul. I remember it was a Friday. I remember the very, very day that he saved my soul. And I remember thinking, man, Christianity is so good. I remember running from all the way from, you won't know this place, from Forum Road all the way to where I lived, about 4 miles, 23 years of age. I ran. I was the happiest guy. I had just discovered the greatest news that anybody could share with anybody. I had just discovered that Christ loved me, that God so loved me that he gave his only begotten Son. And, you know, for a while it was great. My Christian life was great. But then all of a sudden, I found myself falling back into some sin. Some sin crept in there. And then I felt totally defeated in my Christian life. And, you know, that's what happens many times in Christian life. You just get totally defeated. But there is something that David learned in this psalm that we need to learn, that you can hold on to that personal righteousness which the Lord gives you. And you can walk and you can have victory upon victory because Christ gives you the victory. Amen. Amen. Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much. Thank you for being so good.